This is the Blockchain Billions Podcast with your host, Henrik de Geer.
I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Paul Lam. Paul, how are you?
Very good.
Paul, who are you and what do you do?
So I'm working in a private equity firm that basically focusing in emerging markets, including Africa and South Asia. And particularly the sectors that I focus is clean tech and fintech. And within fintech, one of my focuses will be blockchain for sure.
And how are you involved with blockchain?
So I started my career in investments about 3 years ago. So back then I was already covering business services sector. And one of the biggest subsectors within it is payment solutions. So I started with the vanilla payment solutions at the beginning, and then I started to get myself involved into all sorts of technological advancements, be it the POS system, the streamlined payment system, settlement systems. And recently, about 2 years ago, I came across blockchain, which was obviously a hype and everyone was looking at it. And from the business side, we found this technology amazing, very disruptive, and that's when I started to investigate in it.
Paul, what are the biggest successes and challenges with blockchain?
I think the biggest success of blockchain, some people say in the beginning, it is merely a mathematical success, that it proves the concept by cryptocurrencies. I think the landmark or how I see the success of blockchain started when people see beyond cryptocurrencies and start to see blockchain itself rather than looking at Bitcoin, which is merely an application. Mm-hmm. So I think that pivotal point starts about 2 or 3 years ago when people start to realize blockchain can replace any type of intermediary. And my background as a philosopher, I like to describe blockchain as the end of physical trust. Imagining like people transacting today with cash, and people can also transact with credit cards. The major difference between the two ways of payments is how the way that we build the trust. Imagine if you send $10 to me via PayPal. We are all relying on the third party and believing that this third party will settle the trade and clear the trade. Same for any bank transfers. But how do you ensure that by receiving a £10 note in the borough market in London or in New York, Manhattan, that this £10 note's right has been transferred to you by merely an action receiving the physical cash? That really relies on a few assumptions. A is we all have seen the same notes and we recognize the notes. B, we have to be able to read the number and have an agreement on that number itself. And thirdly, and most importantly, we need to have a legitimate expectation that that note cannot, the right and ownership of that note cannot be reversed by any means. For example, violence. You can beat me up and get the notes back. And I think the success of blockchain really started when people see beyond the mirror application of cryptocurrency, and they see the fact that blockchain can enable an alternative way of establishing trust, which doesn't rely on interpersonal relationship. It doesn't rely on authority, but merely relying on an algorithms and a consensus system, which can be built independent of things. And that comes to failure. The success itself, it's a total idealism, I would call it, that it's an utopia. The fact is, this idealistic permissionless blockchain network will probably be a dream. Because at the end of the day, when you don't have a third party, when you don't have authority, when you don't have anything, then the trust becomes so democratized to a way that it is subject to some very fluffy and abstract concepts. The governments or the central banks will not let that happen. in my view. So I see that there will be a compromise. I wouldn't call it as a failure, but I think in the future, the full-fledged blockchain, the idealistic way of applying it, will not materialize. We will end up in a world with permission type of systems where you will see clusters of authorized blockchain networks as the market is going today. So that would be the way how I see the success and the failure or potential failure of blockchain in the future. The applications that as an investor, especially I am heavily involved in emerging market, one of the focuses that we're looking at is how do we strike a balance between permissioned and permissionless network. And the balance is very tricky. To give you one example, we looked at the Caribbean countries where Honduras governments and some of the other emerging market countries are thinking about using blockchain to solve the land registry problem. And very soon you get into a political debate because, look, if I buy a house or buy a land from you, if you are powerful enough, you can reverse that system by bribing some officials. And by introducing blockchain, then you solve this problem because no longer the record is saved in a centralized database, but instead it's decentralized. By decentralizing that database, you're also decentralizing the government's power. So it may make sense in a land registry case because obviously it's a highly corrupt system and protecting the private property right is the cornerstone for the success of the agricultural sector because the farmers need to own the land and that's the groundwork of the society. But there's a spillover effect. If one piece of work, which is key to governments, can be decentralized, then you will actually spread the whole thing across. So we are trying to look into blockchain in a very careful way, like what are we doing here and what is the boundary of it? Luckily, the technology itself has not advanced to that stage yet, which make it like a big concern for government. But I will answer your question very carefully that we are trying to pursue a more permissionless system, promoting the use of blockchain, but we need to understand the challenges, especially when we look at it from a political economy point of view. And not to mention the blockchain, Bitcoin itself will become revolutionary, not in terms of the payment solutions, but you basically revolutionize monetary policies itself. Because it becomes uncontrollable source of money supply, which depends on the transaction values and the quantity in the network. So it will be very revolutionary, not in terms of its applications, but to the academia and policy making.
In your point of view, what will blockchain augment, change, or replace?
So from a product perspective, I think there are four things that blockchain will change. So I call it, I think a lot of people call it blockchain 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0. People have different ideas, but 1.0 is replacing the payment solutions and replacing currencies. So we already see the Bitcoin, we already see even in emerging market, we see BitPesa, for example. Blockchain 2.0 will start to replace services like contracts. So you start to see all these companies coming up to revolutionize smart contracts and also registry. The idea is basically apart from currencies, anything related to the intermediary can be replaced. And finally, I think very soon, I can't predict the time, but the blockchain 3.0 will be enabling the Internet of Value. So if we look at in the 90s, we have the Internet of Information where people can send email, Internet for communication. And in the 2000s, we have the Internet of Social Network, Internet for more communications or even Internet for marketplace. And from 2010s onward, we have Internet of Things that we basically connect all our home electrical device onto the internet. And in the future, I think blockchain will bring us into a new era of Internet of Value. So in the future, If I want to know my net worth, instead of checking my bank account, I just need to do a shout out on the blockchain. I will be able to see what is my net worth. And no one can steal my money because that money is not physically stored in one bank account where you can easily hack into and change the record, nor could I escape from my liabilities. Because if you think about the smart contract in for example, infrastructure, project finance, it's a long document. And suppose we can actually encapsulate it into a smart contract together with cryptocurrencies. I call it Internet of Value, where your money will think. The amount of money will actually think who owns them, because together with the smart contract, suppose in the smart contract, I put a covenant saying that, okay, this company needs a current ratio of more than one and your leverage cannot be more than 2x. And in a year, breach that clause and that smart contract will be self-automated and then it will execute itself and force some payments instead of going into a court action. If it's a simple thing which is self-evident, then the smart contract with the cryptocurrencies can execute themselves. So that means when the Internet of Value happens, you're not just replacing products, you will be replacing these intermediary industries, be it banks, be it accountants, be it lawyers. In the future, that this will happen if blockchain can reach that height.
And how will people make money with blockchain?
Good question. It's a billionaire question. I think from investment perspective, we have looked into a lot of applications. If I may say, different people have different views. I think currently, to make money out from blockchain, you really need to have a permission system. In terms of a permissionless network, you have no control of the access. You can't become this agenda setter for that network. It's very difficult for you to monetize. And the second feature that you can rely on to make money is transactions. So if you compare the market nowadays, I feel like the financial products, the financial transactions will become the first one, which can be put into the blockchain. And by providing the blockchain network, you can basically charge on a commission system. The third one, which is quite interesting, is trade finance. I see that today, like you see a few blockchain startup already looking into the physical markets, like Everledger in London, which basically focus on diamonds. You have Talistic, which look at the invoicing system, and it can be used in the agricultural products. So by using blockchain, you can enable trade finance easier. So traditionally, in a trade finance, you need to get a letter of credit or bank acceptance deposits, notes from the banks. But with the blockchain and with these ideas, then you will be able to replace those products. So I think these three things are the low-hanging fruits. So one is to set up a small permissioned network. So basically, you can allow an exchange based on blockchain, and then you charge the transaction fees. The second one are the financial products. The settlement of the financial products can be done, and then you can charge the settlement fees by this providing the blockchain services. And the third one is on trade finance side. I am, however, not very bullish on the other applications, which are, for example, smart contracts or things like that. It becomes politically very difficult. If you think about blockchain with registry, mm-hmm. How do you replace the government by using blockchain? You are basically using blockchain to replace a government function that, let's say, corporate registry or land registry. The hurdle is too high. So I think if we really want to make money or commercialize, which is already very difficult, we should be focusing on the three things that I just mentioned: small, scalable, executable, permissioned network, focus on financial products, especially derivatives or some vanilla financial instruments, just like what the JP Morgan managing director doing in New York with digital assets. That's a great startup on this field. And the third one is focusing on commodities and trade finance for like companies like Everledger or Tallystick. So these would be my views. If we analyze this from a political economy point of view, like from an economics point of view, mm-hmm. Eliminating corruption is a great thing. Mm-hmm. But the process how you get there is debatable. Mm-hmm. And blockchain, definitely everyone know when we reach the finishing line, it's great. But the problem with blockchain in that world is how do you get there? Because people, especially politicians or the governments, they have more concerns than merely commercializing this or incorporating this into their policymaking or their functions. To give you one example, in Caribbean, like when companies like Ripples or others, they're trying to go into this market and trying to use blockchain to do the registry, the government thinks this is a great idea, but you're taking out corruptions. However, the decision makers are corrupted. So how do you bridge this? This is not a technology problem. This is a politics problem. And are companies able to reach this or to overcome this hurdle? I have a big question mark. And secondly, if you look at the blockchain itself, it undermines governments. So basically, currently we see over in 70s, 80s, 90s, we see the regulations, we see the government's role become smaller and smaller. But completely replacing the governments in some of its most important functions by blockchain, I think it's still a very big challenge because a lot of decisions cannot be made with that. So say, for example, looking at currencies, if we completely use blockchain, then how many different currencies should we have? And here you come to a foreign exchange problem. The government lose its steer of the economy because if the economy goes down, they can use a expansionary monetary policies. But how do they do that in a cryptocurrency world? That's a big question mark. Secondly, when you have the blockchain, it becomes very difficult to trace where the money's come from. It's a very, very inefficient system from the points of view of tracing and from points of view of settling or getting the consensus. I can't ensure the number is right, but the last time when I looked at it, if you do a Visa payment, for example, you engage two banks on both sides and you can do easily 70,000 transactions in a minute versus using blockchain, you can only do 4 or 6. And that's a huge difference. So I guess from the point of view of corruption and political obstacles to the more, I guess, the more practical issues like how do you manage your monetary policies, the economic systems, to the last point, which is the efficiency problem. I just can't see how blockchain can go into the public sector for now. I would stand by my views that blockchain, for now, the best applications are still in the financial and the commodities market, if not a little bit into the smart contract, but nothing further.
Great. Well, thanks, Paul.
My pleasure.
For more on this, visit blockchainbillionspodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out blockchainbillionsbook.com. Thanks for listening.